Turn to Psalms chapter 16. That's where we're going to begin this morning. And we're going to talk about the aspect of growing closer to God and the traits that we must have in doing that. Psalms chapter 16, and we're going to begin at verse 11. From the Old Testament, David the psalmist relates that it is within the presence of God that joy and happiness is gained. Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There are times in our lives where we recognize God's presence. There's times in our lives when we see His abiding, deep love. And folks, I hope that brings joy and pleasure in your life. There also may be some times in your life that you found yourself drifting away from God. And spiritually speaking, you've become weak. You might only see depression. You might only see anxiety because of the distance that is between you and your Lord. Such will affect your relationship with Him. I believe it will affect your relationship with your family, with your husband, your wife, even your children. Possibly life has dealt you a severe blow to you, maybe to your family. Many among us have been and will continue to struggle at times with sickness, other struggles of life. And sometimes we wonder, where's God? Where is God now? And we cry out for relief. We cry out for comfort. Sometimes we cry out for His security, and we definitely want His peace. It's in times like this we ask, what can we do? What can we do? What can be done to ensure that I bring myself back to that closeness with God? And if I'm already close with God, what can I do to bring myself even closer to Him? And folks, it's interesting that David had already given the answer to that as he made this statement in Psalm chapter 16. Look back up in verse 8 and we see the answer that David had already discovered. In verse 8 he says, I have set the Lord always before me because He is my right hand and I shall not be moved. It is when we set the Lord before us, when we set God before us, when we make Him our moment-by-moment focus of life that draws us closer to Him and keeps us by His side. So in our lesson today, we're going to notice several ways in which we, again, can continue to draw ourselves closer to God or to set the Lord before us in our daily lives. I will relate to you, this is a Bible class. I hope that if you have suggestions and thoughts that you feel free to bring those up and mention those as we go through our lesson today. Perhaps a good place to start in setting the Lord before us is to recognize God's creation. Appreciated Jeff in his prayer just a few moments ago talking about the beauty of the snow. Yes, it's a hassle, isn't it? And you folks down in Tennessee and all the hills down here, it indeed is a very big hassle. But isn't it beautiful? A few years ago, it was just last year, we had a horrible ice storm up in my part of the woods. And matter of fact, the ice storm was so strong that we don't have too many woods anymore. Most of the trees came down from it. But I remember one morning, and because we didn't have electricity at our house, my family and several other families stayed at the church building. We also had our activity center open with Red Cross. There were probably 200 people in that building trying to stay warm. And I can remember a lot of the Red Cross people there. And I can remember getting up about 6 o'clock in the morning and going down to where there were some policemen and National Guard people. And they were all looking out the window. Because as the sun rose that morning, it started reflecting through some of the ice on the trees. And everyone in that building was astonished at the beauty that ice was bringing that morning. So even in times when there's difficulties, even in times where there's troubles, you can see the beauty of God's creation. David relates that the creation speaks concerning God. The world and this universe speaks to us concerning God's glory and His knowledge. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. I heard the story of a young preschooler. Young preschooler one day was out in his front yard playing, and he looked up into the sky. And maybe y'all have seen those airplanes that do the sky riding. And this preschooler looked up in the sky, and he all of a sudden saw this word forming in the sky. And he got so excited, he ran into the house, and he said, "Mom, Mom, guess what? God is talking to us. But I don't know how to read, so you got to come outside and tell me what God's saying." Folks, that's maybe not how, we know that's not how God talks to us today, but He does talk to us through His Word, and He does talk to us in the creation that He has created. Paul writes the Christians in Rome, relating that God's eternal power, that is divinity, is portrayed for us. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When we truly take the time to contemplate God's creation, when we truly look at the creation that He has given to us, we see His awesome power. We see His divine love for us. I ask you, when was the last time you just took out at night and maybe looked up at the universe, looked up at the stars, maybe walked out with your spouse on a romantic walk to see the beauty of God's creation? There are examples in the Scripture where individuals used nature. They used this natural world, the peaceful setting of this natural world, to draw closer to God. Genesis chapter 24. The Bible records that Isaac at times would go out into the fields to meditate. Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." And we know that story, where his future wife was coming to be with him. Jesus would often go into the mountains and pray to His Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 14, we read of that. Matthew 14, verse 23. "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone." See, folks, we have examples of people going out into nature, people going out into this world, meditating, drawing closer to God. I absolutely love the nighttime setting at the youth camp, the Christian camp that I go to every summer. Western Kentucky Youth Camp, way out in the boonies in Western Kentucky, away from the lights of Evansville. And it was my job at nighttime to walk that long driveway, which was 200-300 yards, with trees on both sides, and close the gate at night, make sure everything was locked up tight. Me and another gentleman, we were real men. We would walk down that driveway without our flashlights on because we were real men. And we get down at the end of that long driveway where there was no street lights, no house lights. And folks, you could see stars after stars after stars. What's my point? Folks, we look at God's creation. We look at what God has done for us, and it can truly help us to appreciate God and draw us closer to God. William Slater stated such in a song that we many times sing, "Walking alone at eve, and viewing the stars afar, bidding the darkness to come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. But number two, God's creation can tell you only so much about Him. If you want to draw even closer to God, then you need to set the Lord before you through His revelation, through the Bible. The Bible provides the full revelation of God for us. Through nature, we're limited to what we learn from God. We can see and know about His power. We can know about Him being divine. We can know of His glory. We can have knowledge of Him. But we learn nothing concerning His will and His purpose for us. We learn nothing concerning, again, this relating to the Bible class I thought I was teaching, Jeff. We learn nothing about how I am to treat my wife and my children, how to live as God would have me to live. It's only through God's divine revelation that He has made His will fully known. The Holy Spirit has revealed all that we need to know and how to live our lives properly, to live in conduct, to guide our lives through the inspiring and directing the writers of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a lengthy passage maybe, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 relates this. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My friends, we have the message of deity. We have the message that God would want us to have, so we now know how to conduct our lives on this earth. Paul related that we can understand the things of God which he hath received and he had written to us. Plus, he indicates that this message revealed is indeed the complete mystery or secret of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery as I have wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. My friends, we have the message today. We have the Word of God, and we can draw closer to God simply by getting into His message, reading and understanding and applying that message into our lives. David in several passages relates how that God's words kept him close to his Lord. Psalms 119 verse 11, Thy word have I hid in thy heart, in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In the same chapter, Psalm 119 verses 92 and 93, unless thy law hath been my delights, I should have them perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. David loved the message of God. In the same chapter, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David absolutely adored getting into God's word and understanding it. Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, demonstrated how that we can defend ourselves against Satan, how that we can fight the devil and win over the devil through the knowledge and the use of Scripture. You know these passages. Matthew chapter 4 records it, or is where we find the recording of those temptations. But look at verse 4 verse 7 and verse 10. But he answered, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And in verse 10, then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You see Jesus using the Lord's words to defend himself against Satan. We must let deity's words help us to draw nearer to God, who is the only true source, the only true guidance and director of our lives. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day, God in His mercy comes with His Word. He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and everywhere. So we recognize that God's nature, His natural world, and His Word draws us to Him. Yet we must not stop there. We need to set the Lord before us in prayer. Relationships are two ways. That is what truly defines the concept of having a relationship. It is the giving and the receiving of one another. Again, I'm sure in Jeff's class downstairs, he's going to be, if he hasn't already, talked about communications between husbands and wives. Yet, folks, that's true about any relationship. Any relationship that we have, there is that communication process. I promise you, you won't have a relationship if you don't communicate with one another. God has communicated with us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His message, His revelation for us to follow. We have the avenue to communicate with God in prayer. When we really stop and think about that, folks, it ought to send shivers up and down our backs. Do you realize that as a child of God's, you have the opportunity to speak with Him directly? The one that through the breath that came from His mouth formed that universe that we enjoy stargazing into. The one that formed the earth, the seas, and everything that is upon this earth. Everything that we know, we can sit down at a time of privacy and talk to Him directly. What an awesome, awesome opportunity. Being able to pray to God should never be taken for granted, but with all sincerity, with all intensity, we need to speak to our Father in heaven. And we need to truly let Him know of our cares. We need to let Him know of our love for Him. We need to let Him know sometimes our hurts and our desires. We need to open up our hearts to Him and let Him see within. Paul relates that we can offer our every concern and know that God will provide the appropriate blessing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, what a wonderful opportunity. Oh, what a wonderful blessing to be able to talk to our God in heaven and know that He listens to us, to know that He cares. We can boldly approach God when we need His mercy, when we need His help, when we need His grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There are again many examples in Scripture. Many examples of individuals drawing closer to God in prayer. I go back to David. David again in the 119th Psalm, verse 169, states, "Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word." And folks, we have the ultimate example, I believe. Matthew chapter 26, the ultimate example of being near to God, the Father, particularly in times of difficulty. And where does that example come from? Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus said this prayer three times, and as short as it might be, I believe we see the Lord's heart, we see his intensity, we see his fervor in this short prayer. We can learn from this example and attempt to have the same intensity, the same earnestness, and we will find ourselves coming closer to God in our hearts and our minds and feel his comfort. Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face, trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me on to the Spirit's home. Number four this morning, God's creation and word plus our prayers draw us closer to God. It causes our relationship to be stronger with God. Yet one other way. There's another way to set the Lord before us through our fellowship, and it's through our fellowship with one another, being a part of God's family. Strength comes from being together and recognizing the unity that exists between faithful brothers, Christian brothers and sisters. Is it not wonderful to have a godly, caring, loving family that's concerned for each other? I've known this congregation, I can say this, for my entire life. I've known this congregation for so many years. And folks, I constantly see your love for one another. I remember it when I was here. I see it with my dad. I see it with my mom. What a wonderful congregation. And folks, in times of difficulty, we know that we can turn to one another. And what do we find? God's hand working to bring us closer to him. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing to know that I can be a part of God's family. Yet also in times when we falter, when we sin, is it not wonderful to have such Christian friends that we can approach, who will be willing to exhort, to encourage us, to help us turn and do what is right? The Bible teaches that we're to help one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Again, you know this passage. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any among you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Isn't it wonderful to have a family that will help direct you in the right direction. We can relate with that with our physical family, can't we? I can tell you many occasions where my dad directed me in the right direction. We won't go there. But there were many times where I needed correcting, and probably still do today. And I know I can trust in him to do that. There's a song that our young people have sung for many years. One I know this congregation is familiar with. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And folks, you know the concept of this song. It relates that just a little spark of encouragement can start a fire that burns brightly. And what's the end of the song? That others can come and do what? Warm up to its glowing. Friends, our fellowship together is that spark. Our relationship with one another is that spark in which a warm and comforting fire can develop, and we all can enjoy and benefit from being together. And when we're as close as we ought to be in the family of God, then folks, we're drawing closer to God. The early church found closeness. They found strength within their coming together, within their fellowship together. We see that they supported one another. They helped one another at times. And one of the best examples is when Peter and John were released from the Sanhedrin. Remember first part of Acts chapter 4, when the Sanhedrin brought them in before them? Verses 23 and 24 relate, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." Can you imagine that situation? Peter and John brought before these men of the Sanhedrin, which could have executed them. We know that already with what they did with Christ. And what do? They go back to the fellowship. They go back to their family, the church family, and they receive comfort. Later, when Peter was imprisoned, again, we see the early Christians coming together, supporting one another, encouraging one another. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, folks, equally true today. Just as true as it was then, our coming together, whether it's within the assembly for worship or whether it's at other times, our coming together draws us to each other and therefore to God. And there will come a day when we will all have the opportunity to gather around the throne of God as one, being together in heaven and with God. John relates this, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9 through 17, he gives the image of what it will be like one day. "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, the people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried unto with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Folks, as Christians, we have the hope of being together with these persecuted saints of old and all together being with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit in our eternal closeness, which will last for all eternity. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, for I will be pure and holy and live with my God above. We have relationships with one another. Maybe a relationship between a husband and wife, a father and mother with their children, grandchildren, relationships with friends. I come to you with a very profound question. What is your relationship with God? How close are you to God? Have you set the Lord always before you, recognizing His glory, recognizing His honor, recognizing His creation? Have you set the Lord before you by concentrating upon His message, accepting your life into conformity to His Word? Have you set the Lord always before you by intensely and sincerely talking to Him in prayer? And have you set the Lord always before you by regularly coming together as children of His, working and laboring together so you can assist one another even to a greater gathering that's waiting for us in heaven? Psalm 16, verse 11. David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I hope the thoughts that I presented this morning will help you to have a closer relationship with God. Thank you.